Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. We've made it to Friday. Congratulations, folks. You're listening to Friday version of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Evan. Evan Longoria. I am Brian Reynolds. And we are baseball players. And we are talking about political things through the lenses of baseball players because, but seriously, we are. I'm Brian. That's Evan filling in for Luke. Luke will be back next week, and I will be gone towards the end of the week. It'll be fun.
Nice.
I'm going to be enjoying the larger part of the state of Wisconsin and enjoying the wonderful cool waters of the great up north. Hopefully, I will find an old 96er. And eat it and fall into a wonderful coma where I will sleep for 2 days. In any case, you are listening to us right now on the southern swath of Wisconsin. You're coming to us from Waukesha right now at 5:40 a.m. That's WAUK as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. And over in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, Evan over there is broadcasting on WTTN 1580 a.m. as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check it out on Devil Radio app, wherever fine apps are hunted, sold, or however you get your apps or exchange them. You can even write your own, but either way, you still have to get the Devil Radio app to make sure you stream that. You can also give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We're going to take your calls and texts if you want to talk about anything from reaction to the, January 6th hearings this week, anything we missed so far, because we've missed a whole bunch of things. I'm going to get to a couple things here. I got a House bill that Barbara Lee and Mark Pocan have put out earlier this week. I want to read you the entire bill. I know.
Oh, I bet it's so long.
Reading a bill, it's just, oh my goodness. But we're going to read the whole thing. We're going to get through it together, okay? We're going to figure it out, and we're going to read a whole bill to you on the air. That'll be fun. That'll be coming up pretty quickly here. We're going to talk about Juneteenth. That's coming up this Sunday. Pretty awesome there. And we're going to talk a little bit about learning something. Imagine learning something from your mistakes. Oh, my goodness. How crazy that could be. All right. So I want to start off with that bill I was telling you about here. Mark Pocan and Barbara Lee. Okay, they have come out and they have come out and made a bill that is going to reduce the amount of spending for the Defense Department. Okay, and here is the press release from it. That's what I was looking for. Reps Lee and Pocan introduced a bill to cut defense spending by $100 billion and prioritize people over the Pentagon. Here's some quotes from them after this little quick blurb here. And this is released directly from Barbara Lee. Today, Defense Spending Reduction Caucus co-chairs Rep. Barbara Lee and Mark Pocan introduced legislation to cut $100 billion from the defense budget and reallocate the funds to prioritize people over the Pentagon. Here's a quote from Congresswoman Lee. For far too long, this country has put profits ahead of its people. Nowhere is that more apparent than in our Pentagon top-line budget. Just last year, key priorities like Build Back Better were left on the negotiating table. While Congress approved $782 billion defense budget, higher than the military even requested. Meanwhile, our constituents continue to struggle with the cost of living and barriers to basic needs like housing and health care. It is time that we realign our priorities to reflect the urgent needs of communities across this country that are healing from a pandemic, ongoing economic insecurity, and an international energy crisis, none of which will be resolved through greater military spending. Taking the step to downsize our military budget by $100 billion will ensure that our national security truly centers on the American people, not weapons industry profits. Here's a quote from Mark Pocan. The Pentagon's budget continues to grow year after year, even as our forever wars have finally wound down. I think we can all agree, forever wars, not so good for this country. The United States spends more on defense than the next nine countries combined, and cutting it by $100 billion will still keep the United States safe at the top spot. The amount of money the defense industry convinces Congress to spend each year doesn't protect us from real threats like climate change, pandemics, or cyber attacks. It only lines contractors' pockets. Just imagine for once if we led the world in funding peace and not wars. Don't forget, the last time we were attacked on this soil was 9/11. And we had a whole bunch of military hanging out. Let's continue with Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizen. The Lee Pocan bill disproves the claim that there's not money to feed the hungry, care for the sick, cut child poverty, or protect the planet. With U.S. military spending totaling more than China and the next eight biggest military spenders combined, the Lee Pocan bill will reclaim $100 billion in Pentagon spending and free it to be reallocated to domestic and human needs priorities. Thank you, Reps Lee and Pocan. This is how we advance our true national security interests. And I'm going to read the whole bill in a minute here. But think about this. Who are we trying to defend against? What are we doing with our giant military presence? Because right now, it's not like France is going to decide to come after us, even if they go completely right wing, let's say, you know? Because the Union right now, the European Union, the reason it's still together, even if they bicker and fight, is because of trade. It's because of mutual desires. If they all make money, if one country in the UK or in the European Union just goes down or doesn't work, like Greece, they all go down. It behooves all of them to work together to make everybody profitable for everybody. You know how the United States of America is supposed to work. My point is that if we have military, who are we? Why aren't we building up more trade value? Why don't we, if China's such a horrible thing? I keep hearing, we're going to stand up to China, be strong on China, strong on China. Well, you know why? We can't invade China or do anything to China. Let's say they're just the most, let's say we finally paint them as the most evil people on earth. I don't agree with this statement whatsoever. I think there's a lot of wisdom to be had from the Chinese. But anyway, if we, let's say, call the Chinese the most evil on earth and we have to obliterate them, right? Who's going to make everything? Right? Who's gonna do all the things that China does for the economy of the entire world? China doesn't have to spend a whole bunch on their military. They have to basically defend themselves from in invaders in general. But strategically, they don't have to. No one's gonna invade them. Why? One, it's a pain in the butt to go and do so. That's been proven. Never get involved in a land war in Asia. But two, most importantly, everybody needs them. They've become indispensable. That's how it works. If you are more valuable than everybody else, nobody comes and attacks you. Why don't we just go and take over Saudi Arabia so we can have all the oil, right? They'll burn all the oil off. That's why everybody comes to their defense. That's why they can go out and kill somebody. Everybody in the world knows they did. Everybody knows they call, but it's not because they have an amazing military force. We're their military force. We are. Why? Because they have assets. Because there's mutual interest there. That's how things work. But again, it's not like, if you do this, I hit you with rock. That's how our military doesn't work anymore like that. That's not how it works. It's soft diplomacy. It's the way that you do foreign policy that works. All right, let's go read this bill. Let's get into it before we get a little bit too tangentized. Again, give me a call, 844-967-2789. Pocan and Lee are trying to reduce the defense spending for Congress. to reduce the amount of a bill to reduce the amount of authorized to be appropriated for the Department of Defense for fiscal year 2023 and for other purposes, be it enacted by the Senate and U.S. The House of Representatives, the United States Congress of America, United States of America and Congress assembled. This act may be cited as the People Over Pentagon Act of 2022. Keep that in mind, People Over Pentagon Act. It is the sense of Congress that many of the most urgent threats to the national security of the United States are not military in nature. The federal budget should reflect that the national priorities of the United States, and in order to better protect the security of all people and address the national priorities of the United States, the budget of the Department of Defense should be reduced and the associated savings should be reallocated. Section 3, reduction in amounts authorized to be appropriated for the Department of Defense for the fiscal year 2023. In general, the amount authorized to be appropriated for the Department of Defense 2023 is the aggregate amount appropriated for the Department of Defense for fiscal year 2022 in Division C, reduced by $100 billion. Funding for certain accounts, the amount authorized to be appropriated for each of the following accounts of the Department of Defense shall be the amount authorized to be appropriated for such account for the fiscal year 2022. This is also keeping things the same. The Defense Health Program, each military personnel account, each account providing for pay benefits for persons appointed to the civil service as defined in Section 2101 of Title V U.S. United States Code, an application of funding cuts in reducing for the Department of Defense programs in accordance with the subsection A, the Department of Defense shall take into consideration the findings and recommendations contained in the Congressional Budget Office report entitled Illustrative Options for National Defense Under a Smaller Defense Budget, dated October 2021. So they're calling for a huge reduction. Oh, by the way, you can't wipe out personnel. You can't wipe out benefits. You can't wipe out things that actually take care of your personnel, which is usually the first things they cut. You got to actually cut things. And again, this is one of those things that will probably go and maybe even get passed in the House. And it ain't going to go anywhere in the Senate. But I think this is one of those things that pretty much everybody can go on about. I mean, it's one thing to go and say, you know, I'm sorry, Mrs. Sullivan, your kid was, you know, killed in battle because they were defending us against the Nazis. It's a lot different when you're, I'm sorry, Mrs. Sullivan, your son's dead because, well, at least our national oil interests are advanced, huh? Huh? Come back with me. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. It's Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Evan. Magic is happening. Welcome back, everybody. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That's Evan over there in the Solidarity Realty Studios. I'm Brian over here in the Waukesha Studios. Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Talking about Mark Pocan and Barbara Lee reducing the defense budget by $100 billion. At least that's what their proposed thing is. And I'm not talking about getting rid of, you know, pensions. I'm not talking about getting rid of health care. By the way, we're look at that. Keep an eye on the burn pit situation. Oh, the burn pit situation? Yeah. There's been a bunch of veterans of Afghanistan and other wars that have been exposed to burn pits, and they have turned out that, you know, geez, inhaling a whole bunch of stuff you're burning because you have too many things and you don't want – burn pits are there to go and not only, you know, get rid of waste while you're on the camp, but also all the equipment that you brought out there that you're not going to bring back, burn all that so no one else can use it. Apparently, turns out that doing that and inhaling all those fumes can be cancerous. Yeah, yeah. Well – the good old VA, as being trying to be efficient, denies a lot of people those claims, and a lot of people die from cancer because of that. But there's new legislation out there to go and help those burn pit victims, and then it passed in the House. At least I know the Rep Style didn't vote for it. That's pretty good. The beating your chest on the military thing. The reason why they didn't. was because they were worried that people who didn't get exposed to burn pits might take advantage of the possibility of getting their health taken care of. Oh, no. Oh, what the horror of having a vet maybe get care when maybe, oh, no, what an awful, awful side effect. But this is the type of thing you're talking about because, you know, when military contractors can fund campaigns, when private citizens get, you know, military contracts, and then those private citizens turn around and go and funnel it into campaigns and then make it part of, I don't know, the entire Republican platform to defend the military and give them more money no matter what, despite, when the Republicans talk about defending the military, they're not talking about, like, the actual people in the military. They're talking about the complex. And some Dems, too. You know? How you doing, Manchin? You know, and we've literally done exactly what Eisenhower said not to become, and that's become an military-industrial complex. I don't see how we're not. I mean, you want to complain about people coming here from the South? Well, there's a couple reasons for that. Well, our military interventions have overthrown a whole bunch of governments in the South Americas, and I don't know, that kind of turns a little bit of turmoil. Hey, how did that work out for us in Iraq? Yeah, did that turn out really good? How'd that work out for us in Iran when we tried that in the 70s? Yeah, that is maybe we shouldn't, I don't know, meddle so much, get involved so much. I mean, Russia seemed to go and have fun taking us apart with just a bunch of hackers giving us disinformation. And that's what it was. It wasn't like they physically did really much of anything besides move a bunch of pieces around and give a whole flood the zone with a whole bunch of different information. Because the one thing they did know is figure out the American psyche really, really well. We're a warrior culture. We're individualistic. And anything that can go and promote how awesome we are over how dumb the other people are that we're against, that's how it works. And all they have to do is stoke the division. And that's how it all worked. But again, we'd have no counter for that because that whole time, while these people were messing with our heads, we were sitting there sharpening our spears and making swords because, you know, we can't conceive of any other way to do things. Hey, by the way, everybody in Madison, how's that F-35 thing working out?
What?
I was wondering, Evan, how your ears are, man. Are you guys, are they at least, here's some military-grade earplugs for you guys. Do they even bother with that?
No, the earwigs are fine.
Good. And that's a totally necessary thing, right? You know, the F-35, when has that been used in any operation? How necessary is it? I don't know. Have you seen the new Top Gun Maverick? Anybody see the new Top Gun Maverick? I haven't seen it yet. Are they featuring the F-35?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it. I mean, they're making some sick, like, VTOL. You know, there's some vertical takeoff and landing variants that are pretty cool.
Oh, they
cool.
Have that with the Harrier, you know.
You know, get in Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing, is that how are we going to go and advance the Call of Duty situation without advancing the military situation? We've got to be on the cutting edge of beating who? Who's... We're literally fighting ourselves because you know what? At the end of the day, if we go and have a war with, you know, pretty much anyone out there,
Saudi Arabia,
they're going to be using our weapons
against
us. And so, like I said at the beginning of the week, we're a warrior society. And when you run out of enemies and when you run out of actual things to go out and beat up and things and you still have a bunch of energy left, you end up fighting yourself. Like at the end of Monopoly, when the one person has pretty much gotten all the properties, they're pretty much just loaning people money so they can go and get the rent back. That's where we're at, folks. Our military does actually reflect our society in that the ones that have all the money and all the strength and everything are the ones giving everybody else stuff so they can fight against them so they can feel more powerful again. That's all it is. They want all of it. And then once they have all of it, they want more. And it's not about wars. It's not about, you know, defending anything anymore. It's about making more things and creating more conflicts for those things to have to happen. I mean, how many, when was the last military action we took that was like, oh, thank God we did that or else? Honestly, everything we've done has been folly. How many people are in the ground now or not even back yet or POW or MIA or anything like that? We go and shed tears for all that. Why?
Do not take me for some conjurer of cheap tricks.
I love that joke. I don't care how long it is. I do it over and over again. Welcome back, everybody. We all know Gandalf is hip. You're listening to us right now. I'm Brian. That's Evan. Over in the Solidarity Realty Studios, we're on the southern swath of Wisconsin. On Madison, that's 1580 AM, as well as that's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM Devil Radio. You're listening in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Give us a call anytime, 844-967-2789, call or text. And that's also, you can also check us out on the Devil Radio app. Anywhere you go, Devil Radio app can be there. Believe in yourself. You can stream us. So we've been talking about the military budget. I actually looked into the CBO. They have illustrative options for national defense under a smaller defense budget. I have a couple different price points for you, or at least a little different options for you as far as reducing the defense budget. But first, let's go to the phones. I want to encourage everybody to call 844-967-2789. Let me know what's on your mind. Mark from the SAC, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing okay. Yeah, you're bringing up the unwillingness of Republicans to vote for the military to pay for benefits and medical costs for vets that were exposed to the burn pits. How about the agreed upon it? If people are serving a country, they're injured in battle, 100% of their costs should be covered for any medical care that they need for the rest of their lives.
Battle or not, it should be part of the. We have enough money. I'll have one less F-35 if that takes care of our military people.
Yeah, because it's just ridiculous. I mean, we're inundated, but with commercials, and they're fantastic groups, taking care of, getting money, for the injured veterans. But why should that money have to come from charity rather than coming from our government, who put our, that these people were serving our country, were injured in the line of duty, and that the government should just cover the cost, period.
Our military pays MLB and pays the NFL to go and basically become a recruiting tool. The NFL is one of the biggest recruiting tools for our armed forces, Mark. And you know what? Why do they need to recruit? You know what would be a great recruiting tool? Hey, join with us and you get taken care of. Your benefits are taken care of. Huh? Maybe make it so that, joining is a better option than, trying to go and make it, some sort of big thing that you join in on the through the NFL, I mean, isn't there a better way to go and appropriate that, Mark?
Yes. I mean, it's just hot. I don't know. It's just extremely frustrating for me to see these vets and they're pleading. These organizations plead for money for the $19 a month. That like everything else, of all these things, it's $19 a month that covers. But it should just be covered by. If they served our country, they should be taken care of. Period.
Yeah.
And it.
You want to argue universal health care for the rest of the entire United States. Maybe that's something we can talk about. And I can understand seeing the other point of view on there. But if you're going to go and drape yourself in the flag and go and play, Mr. United States Patriot, that type of thing, I think anything that has to do with taking care of the vets, no matter, oh, no, someone's going to get taken care of that maybe didn't get in a burn pit. Oh, no, that's the worst thing that you can think of. And you're saying no because of that? Shame on you. Shame on literally every Republican in Wisconsin. All of them voted no on that. Let's go to Ron in Madison. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. You know, I agree with the last caller. We should be taking care of these guys. I mean, there is no reason my father had to fight a 10-year battle with the VA to get coverage.
It's stupid.
His exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam. He was a forward artillery observer.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I don't understand how the fight, they spent more fighting these people than it would have to actually take care of them in the first place. Had you just taken care of them in the first place, most of them would have been fine. A lot of there are people who have died already because they were denied the initial screenings possible. They had to wait till they actually got more sick before they actually get anything covered. And then at that point, it was too late. I'm sick of hearing these stories. There are so many of them out there.
That is exactly it. And quite frankly, about the F-35, you know, there's a reason that they're passing the F-35 off to Air National Guard squadrons now, because the regular Air Force doesn't want it.
Well, yeah, they're going to upgrade to that, and then next thing you know, they're going to have to learn a new plane afterwards, and that one wasn't even used.
Well, the F-35 has a number of mechanical problems, not the least of which is that the engines have a tendency to drop pieces while they're in flight.
That's not a good thing, I'm told.
No, definitely not a good thing.
Good thing they're taking off and landing right outside of Madison. That's good. That's not a populated area.
You know, I wouldn't have sent it there. I liked the old A-10s, man. You're going to talk about a noisy plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the Warthog's a pretty useful tool, and they actually did a pretty darn good job. They were stuck in service for a really long time. That's the kind of military plane I'm looking for.
Bert.
Something that can last a couple decades, right? They can upgrade with the technology as you go.
They were cheap to build.
Yes.
They were cheap to build it. The pilots loved them.
And they were flying tanks. Most of them came back. That's a good thing, too,
they
huh?
They were. I got to fly second seat in one once.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that was one of my first models I built when I was growing up. Yeah, thanks for the call, Ron. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, me and the A-10 have we were pretty cool, and I also that was one of my favorite things in G.I. Joe. I had my A-10. Anyway, military, too much spending. I think we can all agree. Anybody else? You got anything, Evan?
No, man.
You don't want to say, screw the vets or anything like that? just to be oppositional?
No, I don't think I will.
All right, cool. Let me give you three options here. All right, this is pretty quick. Again, you'd think that these giant, I keep hearing about, I don't want all these bills with all this pork in it. I literally read the entire bill during a segment.
I love pork.
You know, but like people, these bills are so complicated and all these things. No, this is a really, really, really simple bill.
They count on us not reading it. Really. They really don't want us keeping up on this stuff.
Yeah. It's a simple, easy bill to reduce it by $100 billion. And this, by the way, the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, you can check it out yourself, cbo.gov, and illustrative options for a national defense under a smaller defense budget. And they have really involved stuff, but the summary here is what I'm going to go with here. The CBO is asked to examine the effects on U.S. forces of a substantially smaller defense budget. Because forces can be reduced in many ways depending on the military strategy adopted, CBO created three broad options to illustrate the range of strategies the U.S. could pursue under a budget that would be cut gradually by a total of $1 trillion or 14% between... Hold on a second. I just need a second for everybody to get that in your head. Gonna reduce the budget by $1 trillion, as in get rid of $1 trillion of the budget, which is only 14% of it. It's hard to get people to conceive of what $1 billion is. Imagine a million billion, and that's a trillion, and that's only 14% of the military budget. Anyway, this is going to reduce, they're trying to say, between 2022, that's this year, and 2031. Option one retains the 2017 national strategy of deterrence by denial, which relies heavily on U.S. combat forces to deter military aggression against allies by denying or reversing military gains in regional conflicts. The size of U.S. forces would be reduced in proportion to the smaller budget, retaining the same balance of capabilities. So basically, same, just with less, which is what we can do easily since we have so much. Option two would shift emphasis from deterrence by denial to deterrence through punishment, a strategy that is similar to the U.S. approach during the Cold War. The option would de-emphasize the role of U.S. combat forces in regional conflicts in favor of a heavier reliance on coalition forces in combat operations. It would call for reductions in conventional forces, such as brigade combat teams and fighter aircraft, and increases in long-range strike capabilities, such as cruise missiles, anti-ship missiles, and air defense missiles, mostly saying, well, it's happening to you guys. You guys fight it. We'll get your back. Option three focuses on maintaining the freedom of navigation in sea, air, and space around the world that the U.S. currently enjoys. It avoids the use of large ground forces to seize and hold territory in regional conflicts in favor of engaging enemies at standoff ranges. Although the second and third options would require the same amount of funding as the first option, they would result in different force structures and different budget allocations among the military services. They have a lot of facts and charts, and if you want to go and check out more, check out the CBO.gov publication 57128. Just look it up by illustrative options for national defense. The CBO, smaller budget defense, you probably find it pretty quick. There are ways to do this. We can do it. Yeah, so I've pretty much run us into the ground on the military budget thing here. There's no real that's what I got, guys. That's what I got, and I'm going to transition roughly to real quick here. Coming up this weekend, Juneteenth. There's states are slow to make Juneteenth a paid holiday. It's from NPR. I don't know if you know what Juneteenth is. We'll get into that in just a little bit here. This from NPR just a couple days ago. Recognition of Juneteenth, the effective end of slavery in the United States, gained traction after the police killing of George Floyd in 2020. But after initial burst of action, the movement to have it recognized as an official holiday in the states has largely stalled. Although almost every state recognizes Juneteenth in some fashion, I wonder how, if let's say Governor Evers loses in this election, I wonder if Juneteenth will continue mattering in this state. Huh. Although almost every state recognizes Juneteenth in some fashion, many have been slow to do more than a proclamation or a resolution, even as some continue to commemorate the Confederacy. Lawmakers in Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, and other states failed to advance proposals this year that would have closed state offices and given most of their public employees paid time off for the June 19th holiday. They're so bigoted, they don't even want paid time off. That trend infuriates black leaders and community organizers who view making Juneteenth a paid holiday the bare minimum state officials can do to help honor an often overlooked and ignored piece of American history. Yeah. Why is it so important? Juneteenth marks the date of major significance in American history. It represents the ways in which freedom for black people have been delayed. And if we delay this, it's a smack to the face of black folks. Juneteenth commemorates when Union soldiers brought the news of freedom to enslaved black people in Galveston, Texas in 1865, 2 months after the Confederacy had surrendered, and about 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves in southern states. Yeah, they didn't have the same type of mass communication they did here, and I guarantee you if it was today, they'd probably not tell everybody in different ways. Misinformation's a fun thing, huh? Pretty much Juneteenth is celebrating the time that, you know, everybody joined us. People living in Galveston, Texas that didn't know, and there were people there that knew they should be freed, but didn't say anything. It's an important thing. Last year, Congress and President Joe Biden moved swiftly to make Juneteenth a national holiday. It should be. It was the first time the federal government had designated a new national holiday since approving Martin Luther King Day back in 1983. Yet the move didn't result in automatic adoption for most states. Yeah, I remember that. I think Chuck D wrote a song about that. Going to Arizona by the time I get to Arizona. Yeah. You know, I mean, One, what's your problem with having a paid holiday? Two, what's the problem with looking back at the history? Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a huge issue there. This Sunday, I'm not saying you have to go and do anything amazing or stop and whatever. Just stop and think about it for a second. There are people alive today who may have known someone who was a former slave. That's how close it was. Not 50 years ago, maybe just over 50 years ago, it was legal to segregate and redline. We're not that far removed. Come back with me. It's fun. Dueling Tangents. Luke and Brian. 844-967-2789. Yeah, this song gets stuck in my head every Friday. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Evan. Consolidated Realty Studios in Madison. I wanted to say Wadison. I'm in Waukesha. It's pretty exciting over here. If you want to know, I'm a little discombobulated. We had a huge company meeting today, and that was pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited for the future. I can't really tell you much details other than, Evan, you missed a whole bunch of really good pizza, and we missed you, buddy. But I did see you. I did see you.
About to say, man. Come on now.
Yeah, but
there in spirit.
I ordered pizza for you so that I could have it. So good for me.
Nice.
Real quick here before I get to the calls, and I will get to your calls at 844-967-2789. I just want to throw a real quick headline out there that happened this week, and I think it's really awesome. Maybe we can all learn something about that. You know Lizzo, Evan? You familiar with Lizzo?
Oh, hell yeah. One man great till they got to be great.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty awesome. Lizzo's pretty great. Grammy-winning singer, rapper, and also a flautist. Really pretty awesome flautist. But apparently, she upset some people with some of her lyrics.
No.
Yeah. Apparently, it was she changed the lyric, though. So, in the original version of the song, Girls, with three R's, Girls, released on Friday, Lizzo used the word spaz to indicate that she was going to lose control. The word is based on spastic diplegia. Spastic diplegia, I wanted to say dysplasia, that is absolutely not correct. Spastic diplegia, a form of cerebral palsy, a condition that causes motor impairments in the legs or arms. Fans and disability advocates called on Lizzo to change what they called an ableist slur, a word seen as particularly harmful in some countries, where it has a history of being used as a schoolhouse taunt. By Monday, the major music streaming services had substituted the original song, the original version of the song, with one that replaces the line with "Hold Me Back." In a statement posted to Instagram on Monday, Lizzo said she understood the effects of harmful language, and here is what she said. It's been brought to my attention that there is a harmful world in my new song, Girls. Let me make one thing clear. I never want to promote derogatory language. As a fat black woman in America, I've had many hurtful words used against me, so I can understand the power words. She says overstand. I like that choice there. I overstand the power words can have, whether intentionally or, in my case, unintentionally. I'm proud to say there's a new version of Girls with a lyric change, and this is a result of me listening and taking action. As an influential artist, I'm dedicated to being part of the change that I've been waiting to see in the world. XOXO Lizzo. Whether you like her music or not, please let us all stop and just praise Lizzo right there. That's how you do it. That's how you go, oh, I might have been wrong or I might have upset somebody. And rather than be all, no, I get to say what I want. She said, oh. Okay, I'm a person out there, and I want to stand for what's right. I want to include everybody else. How do I include them? By changing this lyric? Great, I'm going to do it, and they got it done by Monday. That's how you do it, folks. All right, that being said, let's go to our buddy Phil in Minneapolis. How you doing, Phil? What's going on, man?
I'm doing fine. It's kind of warm, and I bet you guys are kind of warm where you are, too.
I'm a large man. I'm warm wherever I go, buddy.
Yeah, me too. I'm not quite of the magnitude you are, but made a statement. You made a statement a few minutes ago about how much $1 trillion was.
Yeah.
And $1 trillion is not a billion billions. It's 1,000 billion.
1,000 billion. That's right.
Yeah. But you made it kind of even bigger than it even it really was in real life.
At that point, to most people, if you're talking about money, it's almost infinity.
Yeah. If the pile is so big you can't reach the top anyway, what's calling it even bigger? But the other thing about that is you said 14% of the budget is $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Over what span of time, may I ask? Did they say?
I believe it's a current. Let me go back to that. Reduced by $1 trillion in 22. Okay. This is reduced by $1 trillion in 2022 dollars, or 14% over the next 10 years. So from what it is now.
So it's reduced at $100 billion a year.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and the first bill to do that was Pocan's bill with Barbara Lee that I read earlier.
So the my memory of the defense budget that they voted on, and then they added 20 or 30 billion more on top of that giant stack of money. It had originally been like 760 billion for that's a 2-year appropriation because that's what the Constitution requires. You can only fund military every 2 years. You can't make it last any longer. You can project out, but you can't get the money any sooner than every 2 years. Yeah. So they added another chunk, which somebody might have been prophetic in foreseeing that we're going to need to give the Ukraine a bunch of military aid.
Yeah, which is funny because we're not even using a whole bunch of. I don't even know that comes out of our military budget.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. Oh, it is. Okay,
great. Every time we do that, you'll notice like a year and a half later. Oh, they have to cut the projected expenditures for improving housing for on-base dependents because the on-base dependents. That's what Trump went, stole money from to fund his so-called wall that's going to protect us from people who can climb over it with a ladder.
Which if I'm reading Barbara Lee's and thank you very much for the call, Phil. If I'm reading Barbara Lee's and Pocan's bill, they actually outline what you can't cut as well. Basically saying you can cut, but don't cut any benefits for personnel. I think they made that pretty clear there. Andy in Beaver Dam, how you doing, man?
Hey, Fancy Brian. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day, you and Dom and Rudy. And I tried to wish Evan a happy Father's Day, but he's not a father yet. So
not that we know of. Not that we know of. I think he tries every day, though.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Everything you've been saying is true. We didn't listen to Eisenhower. And I blame a lot of it on the boomers, of which I am one. From 46 to 64, and even going back to 1940, most of your senators were born after 40, and the white privileged people have, spent so much money trying to make government democratic, and it's foolishness,
You can't really force people to choose to be democratic. It's one of those things you kind of got to inspire them to do.
Right. We can't do it. And so that's where the blame lies with the military industrial complex. But I don't know. What are you going to do, man? But anyway, have a great weekend, all right?
I'll do my best, Andy. You take care of yourself as well, man.
You too. See you later tonight.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna have a good time. Enjoy yourself, Celebrate Juneteenth in your way. Keep it in your mind. I will definitely be talking about it with Luke on Monday. Devils are coming up. I think that's going to be fun. It's a Friday. I know Crudy's fired up today. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I appreciate you joining me this week. Thank you, Evan, for keeping me alive as I go here. And we made it through, guys. We made it through. We're going to have a great time. And I hope you do, too. Just remember, who are the people in your neighborhood?
For real, name 4.
No, like really, you should know who the people in the neighborhood are.